Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Last 4 weeks, we've been talking about our church. We've been digging into really what our church is all about, the core of our church. For the last 4 weeks, we've talked about those things that really push us and that really drive us, that really kind of describe who we are as a church, what we believe. The first week, we talked about the simple fact that everybody on planet Earth needs to have a personal and passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. We were created for that relationship, not just personal. It's not just coming to church, it's not just finding Him, but it's also following Him. And to follow Him means to be passionate about Him. Anybody remember when you fell in love with your spouse? You were passionately in love with your spouse. You followed them everywhere they went. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, where are you going, girl? I'm coming with you. We were passionate. And that's how we need to be about Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, we want to go. Whatever Jesus is doing, we want to do. We want to be where Jesus is moving. Somebody say amen. Amen. We want to have a personal, passionate relationship with Him. The next week, we talked about the importance of connection. We cemented the fact into our hearts that we must be connected, that Jesus created us for connection, vertically in a relationship with Him, to be connected to Him, to abide in the vine, to remain in Him, because apart from Him, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. If your life is fruitless, you need to check your connection. You need to check your connection. And not only to be vertically connected to Him, but horizontally connected to one another. We need each other. Every member of the body is important. Every member of the body has a purpose, and we need each other. The hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. The foot can't say to the ear, I don't need you. We need everybody. Every member of the body. That's you. Say, that's me. That's Look me. At your neighbor. Say, that's me. That's me. I'm a member of the body. Every member of the body matters. And we have to be connected. And then we talked about the fact that we all need to grow. That Jesus was our example. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. And that it's important that we learn to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And we talked about that growth and what it looks like and how we grow with fresh encounters with Jesus every day. Somebody say amen. I need a fresh dose of Jesus every day. Somebody say amen. Amen. If I'm going to have revival in my heart, I got to have a fresh dose of Jesus every day. Yesterday's dose isn't enough for today. I need another dose today. Yes. Come on, are you with me? Yes. Some of you are trying to live all week long on a Sunday dose of Jesus, and that just ain't enough. Because there ain't enough on Sunday to get you to Wednesday. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the cool thing is Jesus can come to you every day. He's waiting for you. We get a new dose of Jesus every day. His mercies are made new every morning for a reason. So that we can experience the new mercies of Jesus every day. So we have fresh encounters with Jesus. We have continued experiences in the Word of God. God's Word is our map. It's our GPS. It's our blue line on our phone for life. We got to have fresh encounters with Jesus and great experiences in the Word of God on a daily basis. And then the last thing when we talk about growth is just faithful engagement with God's people. That faithful engagement means continually faithful, continually connected, continually doing life together, not just Sunday. How many are thankful that you've got Christian friends on other days of the week besides Sunday? Come on. Six of you, praise God. We're halfway to where Jesus was. He had 12. Maybe after today, we'll get to 12, Chris. Maybe. Thankful for the friends in my life that love Jesus and we're moving in the same direction. It's so great to know that I'm not alone on this journey. Amen? So we have faithful engagement with God's people. Then last week, we talked about the heart of Jesus to serve and the simple fact that save people. And can I just applaud you today that last week, you guys, listen to this. Last week, you guys, almost 100 people signed up to serve last week. Come on. Oh, somebody got a shout or something. I don't know. That's really cool. And so I'm fired up because we got 100 new people just waiting to be used by God to discover what God has for their life. It's not just about the work, but it's about discovery. It's about being opened up to God's plan for our life. It's about experiencing God at a whole nother level because we're willing to serve like Jesus served. And the more we become like Jesus, the more the Lord reveals himself to us, the more that we grow, the more that we learn, the more that we understand, the greater influence we can be on the world that Jesus has called us to reach. Amen? And so this morning, we're about to do something really cool. Look at your neighbor and say, this is really cool. No, say, this is really cool. This is so stinking cool. It's going to change your life. But before we go there, I need you to hear from a very special friend of mine in this short video. It's on you.
You know, every person in every age is faced with eternity. Scripture offers us two choices, heaven or hell. Let's be clear. No one person is more lost than another. There are over 67 million AG adherents in sovereign churches around the world. That's roughly 1% of the world's population. So in contrast to Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 15, the 99 are lost, not the one. Under the inspiration and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we must go after them. What moves our hearts is that many of these lost don't even have access to the gospel. Of the 3 billion lost people in the world today, roughly 86% of them are in this no gospel access position. That is why every tribe, every nation.
Amen. Over 7 billion people on planet Earth. Over 3 billion of them are lost. And of those 3 billion, 86% live in what we call a no-access zone, which means they have no access to the gospel, which means it's been shut off for them or it's not offered in their native tongue for them to understand. There's no missionary presence and there is no gospel. Think about that. That's almost 2.6 billion people who've never heard the name of Jesus. Never even been given an opportunity to accept or deny the name of Jesus. They've never even heard the name of Jesus. Yet we hear it every day. We hear it every day. That doesn't even account for those who've heard it and walked away from it. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this was an issue. Jesus knew that the world would struggle. But how many know Jesus loves us so much that he never left us without a plan? And that plan is for the church. The church is the plan of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and the church is his voice. And the reality today is that there's no plan B for the world to know. If we don't answer the call of Jesus, nobody else will. There is no plan B. There's only plan A. And Jesus spells it out for us in several places in Scripture. If you have your Bibles in Matthew chapter 28, last week we talked about the reason people don't serve is because they lack a great commitment to the great commandment and the great Commission. What we're talking about today is the Great Commission. You see the flags on the platform. You see the flags in front of you. I could go through each flag and tell you where they are, and I can point out where lost people are in those countries. For years, I've studied the world. For years, I've studied missions. For years, I've studied God's call into all the world. That's why I am where I am today. Because I believe the most important thing we can do as the church of Jesus is to do what Jesus said. What good are we to follow our Father if we don't do what our Father says to do? Jesus knew the world would be lost without him because they denied him. And surely if they'll deny him, they'll deny us. But he gave these instructions in Matthew 28. Starting with verse 18, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Aren't you glad? All of these people that rule these nations that think they're in charge, they're not in charge. They don't know. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. He says, therefore, anybody picking up on it? Therefore, go into all the world. He said, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, surely I am with you until the end of the age. Go and make disciples of every nation. In every nation. In every nation. I look up here this morning and I see the Ugandan flag. And my heart breaks because we have no Assemblies of God missionaries in Uganda. The door is wide open for people to come and preach the gospel. But we have no Assemblies of God or Pentecostal missionary in Uganda. Somebody say, Lord, help us. I look at the South African flag and I think of all the turmoil in the major cities of South Africa, especially Johannesburg and Pretoria area, and how much they need Jesus. Somebody's got to go tell them. Somebody's got to go tell them. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. We know that in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus kind of shares this same message when he says to go into all the world. Everybody say all. All. Everybody say all. He says go into all the world, not just part of it. Go into all the world. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Go into all the world. Preach the good news to all creation. Not just part of it, not just the part where you're comfortable, not just the people you like, but we preach the gospel to all creation until all know. You see, the command this morning is crystal clear for us as a church. There is no plan B. As a church, we must go. We must go. We must go. He never said stay and wait for them to come. He never said stay and wait for them to ask. He said go. He said to go. And as a church, it must be our top priority to go where Jesus tells us to go, to say what Jesus tells us to say, and to be what Jesus calls us to be. That should be our priority. He's called us to go to all the world. He's called us to go and make disciples. That's why we do what we do as a church. We build disciples so that you can go and build disciples. You grow so you can go and help other people grow. How are you going to tell them about Jesus unless you know Jesus? That's why it's so important to connect. It's why it's so important to grow. It's why it's so important to serve. Because the more we grow, connect, and serve, the closer we get to Jesus. You've heard it in our testimonies all month long. The more we connect and grow and serve, the more familiar we become with Jesus and the more like Jesus we become. Somebody say amen. So we must go into all the world. We must go and make disciples. We must go and tell the world that Jesus saves. We must go and tell the world that Jesus saves. I believe that inside of every person, there is a desire to change the world. I believe every one of us have a dream or a desire or a passion to make an impact, to leave our mark, to make a difference. Sometimes we don't share those things because we think if we did, people would think we're crazy. I got a pastor that I read a lot of his stuff named Bill Hybels, and he calls these things BHAGs, B-H-A-G. He calls them big, hairy, audacious goals. That without God's help, they're never going to happen. And I believe inside every one of us, there is a BHAG. There is a big, hairy, audacious goal. Sometimes we don't want to tell everybody. Because they're just going to laugh at us if I told them. There's no way they're going to, they won't even believe me, Jackson. That's the dumbest thing in the world. But God places those in our heart. And so I know that in every one of us, there's a desire to make a difference, their desire to make a mark. And the truth is, any willing person can change the world, but we must be willing to go out into that world in order to change it. We can't change the world by sitting still because the world is moving. We can't change the world by sitting still. We must go. We must become outward focused. Our lives must become outward focused. We must become outward focused. And we must do this intensely and intentionally. Intensely and intentionally. For the last 3 years, we have done a great job being inward focused at the Ocean. We have built a church. We have put systems in place. We put structures in place. We have discipleship programs that are growing people. Not enough. We need more. There's more coming in Jesus' name. We've been very inward focused on building our church. And I praise God. I can tell you, after traveling the last week, well, we got a great church. Ay, ay, ay. I've been in some churches now. We got a good church. We got great people. We got loving people who love Jesus. But do we love who Jesus loves? We've got to become outward focused, and we got to do it intentionally. And we got to do it intensely. We've got to do it with everything we have. Missionary Hudson Taylor, who is a missionary to China, said this. He said, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow him. David Livingstone, the great missionary for Africa, makes this comment, and I want you to hear it this morning because it's so real, and I think it really describes a lot of churches. He says, sympathy is no substitute for action. Sympathy is no substitute for action. You see, it's not enough to recognize that 3 billion people are lost. It's not enough just to know the fact. It's not enough just to feel sorry for them. We must go to them and tell them Jesus saves. Oh, you're not with me. Come on, everybody look up here. I know it's uncomfortable as heck. Sometimes getting up and going, it's hard. That's uncomfortable, Chris. But sometimes we gotta move from our place, Henry. We can't just stand there. Sometimes we gotta move, Julie. Sometimes we gotta get out of where we are and go so people can know. We can't sit there all the time. Sometimes we just got to get up and go, Joel. in a place we're not comfortable, in a place that freaks people out. Like right now, some of you are like, oh my God, why he's up here? I don't even understand. Trust me, I know. Everywhere I walk in Tanzania, people see Mzungu. I get the stares, trust me, I know. I get it. I've got them all week long. But sometimes you gotta go where it's uncomfortable. You gotta get away from your comfort zone and you gotta go to where they are. Jesus said, go, he didn't say stay. And sometimes we gotta get up and we gotta go to where lost people are. There's no plan B. There's no other option. There's not a backup plan. This is the plan. The church is the plan. God's people are the plan. There's no backup. And if we don't answer the call to Jesus, those 3 billion people may never hear. They may never have the opportunity to give their life to Jesus. Sympathy is no substitute for action. The world is lost without Jesus, and we've been called to go and to take him to the world. Contemporary theologian Carl Henry says this, says the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Amen. The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. What if I'm the reason somebody didn't hear soon enough? What if I'm the reason that my coworker died and went to hell because they didn't know Jesus? They worked with me every day. They saw me every day, but I never told them about Jesus. They never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because I didn't go to them. I assumed they knew. What about my neighbor down the street? Just because they live in Dar es Salaam where it's okay to be a Christian, don't assume that they are. We can't assume that everybody we see has heard the gospel. They may not have. A third of our population here in Dar es Salaam are Muslims. They believe in God, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Some of them have never even heard that message. Why? Because we're not telling them. You see, go's not just about all these other nations. Go's about your neighbor. Hello? Somebody say amen. Amen. I will wake you up if I have to. Uamsho! I'm telling you, I'll burn by myself if I have to. Going to our neighbor. It's going to our coworkers. It's going to our community. It's going to our country and beyond. It's only good news if it gets there in time. Romans 10, 14 and 15, Paul says this, how then can they call on the one whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Another contemporary Christian voice in the church today, John Piper. I love what he says when he says, go, send, or disobey. Go, send or disobey. That's powerful. You either go, you send, or you disobey. I believe that's a message for our church today. I said, I believe that's a message for our church today. I've shared this with you before. The success of a church is not measured by its seating capacity. The success of a church is not measured by how many people come on a Sunday morning. The success of a church is not measured by the size of the sanctuary. The success of a church is measured not by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. The success of the church is not measured by how many people we get to come. Because Jesus never said, come. The success of the church is measured against the command of Jesus that says, go! Amen. So the success of the church is measured by our sending capacity. Are we sending laborers out into the harvest field every week? Do we see ourselves as those who are going into all the world? We don't go in the world as a teacher. We don't go in the world as a doctor, as a lawyer. We don't go into the world as a language teacher. We don't go in the world as an entrepreneur or whatever you want to call yourself. We go into all the world as a disciple of Jesus, and those things are just avenues that the Lord wants to use for us to reach people. We get it backwards. We live inverted. Our first priority is not a doctor. Our first priority is not a lawyer. It's not a teacher. Our first priority is a disciple of Jesus who's been sent into all the world to preach the gospel, and we do it through those avenues. I don't get up every day and go to work. I get up every day and go into all the world to preach the gospel. And if God wants to use my gift and talents as a platform to give me access to people who've never heard, then praise God! Amen. But we prioritize our job and make our walk with Jesus secondary. The reality is we were called first to go. We must go. Here at the Ocean, we believe that reaching lost people is the heart of Jesus. Therefore, it should be the heart of the house. Amen. We believe that reaching lost people is the heart of Jesus and should be the heart of the house. It must be the heart of the Ocean. For how can we make Jesus known unless we're willing to go and tell? Every one of us, each and every day, must choose to go into all the world, our world, and take Jesus to those who don't know him or who have never heard. We must be willing to go into our city, to our country, to our continent, all across Africa, and we must be willing to go into all the world. We connect so we may go. We grow so that we may go. We serve so that we may go. We go so that all may know him and make him known. So I want you to say this after me. Into all the world. Into all the world. Until all know. Into all the world. Until all know. Into all the world, until all know, I will go. Into all the world, Jesus, until all know, I will go. Will you go? That's the question. Will you go? So today, we put the finishing touches on our mission statement as a church. Today, we tie it all up together to be a complete picture of the church. We believe, Dr. Brenda, in leading people to Jesus so that they have a passionate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We believe that we've been called to help people connect to God and to others. We believe that we've been called to help people grow in an environment where they can grow in their relationship with Lord and their relationship with others. And we believe that we create opportunities for people to serve so they can discover their gifts, their talents. They can discover more about the Lord and continue to grow in their walk with Him so that ultimately we as a church will go. So today we change our mission statement just a little. Today we don't take anything away, but we add the X factor. Today we add the X factor. We will connect, we will grow, and we will serve. But from this day forward, we will go. Amen. We will go into all the world until all know. That will be the heart of our church. So if I come to you in the next week and I look at you and say, OG, where are you going? Don't be surprised. Because this idea of going needs to become the drive in our church. Amen. It's time to become outward focused so that we can be the church that God has called us to be, so that we can be the people God's called us to be, so that we can accomplish the things that God's called us to accomplish, which is to go into all nations and to make disciples and to preach the gospel. And to all the world, until all know, I will go. May that become our statement. And to all the world, until all know, I will go. And to all the world, until all know, I will go. If you will declare to do that this morning, I want you to stand with me. Some of you are like, whoa, 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 whoa. What am I committing to? You're committing to following Jesus. It's not new. It has been His command since day one. And to all the world, until all know, I will go. Heavenly Father, I thank You for today. And Holy Spirit, I pray that this word will burn into our hearts and our spirits. That this word today, this one two-letter word that says go, will revolutionize our church. I pray that as we embrace this small word, that it will create such a large revival in our church, that it would change the course of people's lives, that it would transform their destiny, that it would take the blinders off their eyes for them to see, Lord, what You have for them to see. Father, we are Your mouthpiece. We are Your hands. We are Your feet. There's no plan B. It's us or nothing. And so, God, today, we stand in unity at the ocean and commit ourselves to know You. We commit ourselves to connect to one another and to You, Lord. We commit ourselves today to grow in wisdom and in stature, in favor with You, Lord, and in favor with man. To grow in our walk with God, to grow in our relationship with other people. We commit ourselves today to serve Jesus just as You serve. We commit to put ourselves second and others first. And today, Lord, we commit ourselves. Father, today we choose a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission. Father, do it in our church, into all the world, until all know, Lord, we will go. Father, bless Your people today. Love them. Keep Your hand upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Oh, come on, he deserves more than that.